look at some very, very, very important scripture here this morning. Just like you was reading the morning newspaper, up to date as always, your King James Bible. Yeah. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. We'll look at Romans 13, verse 11 this morning. I want to preach to this church and every church. You know, these sermons a lot of times go out different parts of the world. We're on the internet right now. And at 10 o'clock every morning and 10 o'clock every night during the week, we're also on there. People listen to it all over the country. Get emails and stuff on hrnb.com. And then click on the WZGM station. Anywhere in the world, 10 every morning, 10 every night. So this is for churches everywhere that hear these sermons. Romans 13:11. And that, knowing the times that we're living in, that now it is high time. There's a familiar phrase we use, taken from your King James Bible. Somebody said, it's high time we done this. It's high time we done that. Comes right out of your Bible, right there. Right from your King James Bible. People that don't believe it, quote it every day. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. That's partying, our modern word for partying. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. You're not supposed to go out and party and get drunk and act a fool and everything as a Christian. What does it say? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I want to preach this morning on the subject, Christians, wake up. The time that you and I are living in the Bible, is called night time. Night time is the time when the sun is gone, the moon is out, it's dark, and you get very, very sleepy. The analogy the Bible uses for me and you as Christians is, we're on a long trip, and we're trying to stay awake till the sun comes up. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. How many of you have ever, whether willingly or unwillingly, stayed awake all night long? Would you raise your hand, please? Lord, I know some of you never made it more than 2 or 3 hours. But it's a rough thing to do. I've done it many times driving. And when I have to get somewhere, and you drive and you start out real good, you start out on fire and really fired up. Down the tire, brother. Watch me for a little bit. And you're driving, and as the night goes on, I've been on trips with people lots of times. You tired? No, I'm fine. That's what they always say. I'm fine. And well, it's 11:30. It's 12 o'clock. It's 12:30. 1 o'clock. You all right? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. And you do pretty good. Until it starts getting 2:30, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And I'm telling you, them last few hours between 4 and 6 is torture. It's literally torture. I've done it. We've left Florida before. I had to preach in Florida and drove home and got home at 8:30 on Sunday morning and took a shower and went to church. And I'm telling you what, it's rough trying to stay awake. Now that's the picture that the Lord puts for us as Christians. The time you and I are living in, 2012, is night time. It's spiritually dark. The sun has gone down, the S-O-N. He's gone. He's in heaven. All the light we're seeing now is a reflection of the sun on the moon. The moon gives our, a moon is a picture of the church. When Jesus was here, he said, I'm the light of the world. But when he left it, ye are the light of the world. All the light the world sees today is reflecting off of the church, the moon, off the Lord Jesus Christ. So the moon in the Bible is a picture of the church. Song of Solomon, the Bible said, who is she? Talking about the church. fair as the moon and terrible as an army with banners. The moon has no light of its own. It's a dark planet till the sun shines on it. And then it reflects that light to the world in darkness. That's exactly where we are today. And when I get up here and I preach and I say, come to church, read your Bible, pray, stay right with God, what I'm really saying is, stay awake. We've got to stay awake till the sun comes up. Now, most churches this morning, if you went by most churches, it'd be like that little cartoon I seen one time. Had a church building, and it had a bunch of Z's coming out of it. Z's meaning just everybody in there just sound asleep. And my job, a revivalist, they call us an alarmist. That's what preachers are called a lot of the time, alarmist. What does that sound like? Alarm clock. Alarm clock wakes people up. That's my job this morning. Now, give me your attention for just a minute. It's going to be a little slow to start with, and I want you to listen to this. The sun is gone. The sun is a picture of the S-O-N in Psalm 19, Malachi 4. The Bible calls Jesus the Son of Righteousness. He's a picture of the sun. The sun has rays that you can feel, but you can't see. That's the Holy Spirit. The sun has a heat rays. The sun has those gamma rays and stuff that you can neither see nor feel. That's a picture of God the Father. You can't see Him. You can't feel Him. The sun has, you can see the brightness of it. That's a picture of God the Son. We've seen Him. We feel the Holy Spirit. You can't see or feel God the Father. So the sun is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the nighttime is divided into four watches. In the Bible, the nighttime, there's four watches. You've heard of the fourth watch of the night? But if there's a fourth, there's a third, second, and first. So the nighttime in the Bible begins at 6 o'clock in the evening. When it got dark, they didn't have artificial light like we have now. And so the nighttime began at 6. So it went from 6 to 9 was the first watch. From 9 to 12, the second watch. From 12 to 3, the third watch. And 3 o'clock in the morning was called the cock crowing. That's when the rooster would crow. 3 o'clock in the morning. And from 3 to 6 would be the fourth watch. Now the Bible said when they was out there on that ship, picture of the church, and the wind was tossed, that Jesus came walking to them in the fourth watch of the night. That's that last watch. That's from 3 to 6 a.m. We've made it through from 6 to 9. We've made it through from 9 to 12. We've made it through from 12 to 3. And we are spiritually in that last watch when He's going to come walking on and to us again from 3 to 6 a.m. That's where we are on God's prophetic clock. And so this morning, I want you to pay attention. Where we are spiritually, we've been on a trip all night long. We're waiting on the sun to come up. And it's all between 3 and 6 a.m. And if I had to say, I'd say it's 5:45. I don't know that, but it's between 5:30 and 6. You can mark it down. And so they have these four watches. That would be from the year when the Lord came to 500 A.D., the first watch. From 500 A.D. to 1000 A.D., the second watch. From 1000 A.D. to 1500 A.D., the third watch. 1500, the rooster crow. That's the time of the Reformation. 1500, that's when it happened. And it all broke loose. And then we are in that fourth 500 years from 1500 to 2000. We are at 2012, meaning the calendar can be off several years one way or the other. We don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. Any way you cut the cake, we are near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is night time, sure as the world. Now let me give you these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:34. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, for some have not the knowledge of God. Wonder why it used that terminology. Wake. It's because so many Christians are asleep spiritually. He wasn't talking about physical sleep. He wasn't just saying, wake up, it's time to get out of bed and tell somebody about the Lord. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Churches are asleep on God. That's why He said that. You know what else He said? Ephesians 5:14. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. He wasn't talking about physical sleep. In Proverbs 6 and verse 9, he said, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? The Bible said in Proverbs 10 and verse number 5, a son that sleepeth in harvest bringeth his father's shame. If a man sleep, and we are in harvest time right now, bringing our father's shame. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know what I feel like sometimes? I feel like taking a trip. Them boys used to take trips with me. I about quit taking people anymore. They always say, Brother Danny, call me and I'll go with you sometime. Help you drive. You know what that means? They'll drive the first 2 hours and sleep, and I'll drive the last six and can't even listen to the preaching loud because it'll wake them up. That's why I just quit fooling with them. I keep my own self awake. And I can't, if I do go over and try to lay down, I can't sleep no way because I'm afraid a fool's going to kill me. Ain't you like that? We was coming back from place one time, went way out in Missouri, get some church pews, and man, I'm telling you, we drove all the way out there, loaded church pews for a day and a half, and I'm all the way back. It's like 3 days in a van, no sleep, nothing, and on the way back, I'm telling you, I'd lay over there like that, and I'd go like this. I'd say, I'm going to try to get me just a little bit of sleep. And I do like this right here, and it hit a bump, and I do like that right there. I mean, I could see us hitting a tractor and trailer. I could see us running, and I thought, ain't no use me trying to sleep. I don't trust you. And I could stay over there and beat myself and try to keep myself awake rather than trying to worry, afraid you're going to kill us. All it takes is just, you know, one little nod, and you're gone. And that's the way I feel pastoring church sometimes. I think, Lord, somebody's got to stay awake. Somebody's got to stay awake and drive. So we can't all go to sleep. We'll get killed. Somebody got to stay awake. And I'm telling you this morning, Christians, wake up. The Lord's coming back. Your family's going to hell. There is a hell. There is a heaven. And we need to be awake and doing something for God. That's right. Lord, I remember one time, we was coming back from that trip, and I let this boy drive, and I was about to die. And we was coming from, you know, the last 2 hours, we're from Knoxville over to Asheville. That stretch of interstate, it's the scariest, most dangerous stretch of interstate that I've ever been on. I've been on Interstate 40 from here to California, and that's the scariest part of Interstate 40 there is, from Asheville to Knoxville. I mean, you got a cement wall on one side and a tractor and trailer on the other side. They ain't nowhere to go. If he blows out a tire or you weave or hit, you're squished. And I let that boy drive, and we stopped in Asheville to eat breakfast about 7:30 in the morning. I said, man, I tell you, I appreciate you driving. I said, I'm about to die. I can hold my eyes open. He said, I got a confession to make, Brother Danny. I said, what? He said, I was there a few times. He said, I thought I was in the back hanging up my clothes. I said, you thought you was in the back hanging up your clothes? We was doing 70 miles an hour down the interstate. I said, you ain't driving no more, ever again will I ever ride with you again. I mean, but you know, I've done it. One time I was driving down the road, and I was going down the interstate. I was flying down through there, and I seen this real skinny hitchhiker. And I kept looking at him, and I thought, that is the skinniest guy I've ever seen in my life. He's so skinny. And it was a sign. It was a sign right there. And I thought, oh boy, I'm starting to hallucinate. I'm seeing things. I thought one time I saw this tractor and trailer, and it was right in front of me, and I thought, what's that truck doing in front? And it was a bunch of reflectors on the side of the road, and I thought it was a truck. I mean, when it starts getting that bad, you better pull over and do something. You better pull over and do something. You better get yourself away. And listen, the way some of y'all been living lately, you better do something. You're going to get killed. You're fooling around doing stuff you ain't got no business doing. Going places you have no business going. With people you have no business being with. You're going to wreck and ruin your spiritual life if you don't wake up this morning. Amen. I'm telling you what, brother, it's a shame. Churches are selling. I know churches that are quitting their bus ministry, selling the buses, so that we can have more money to go bowling with or something like that. We better wake up and realize why Jesus died. Amen. I mean, just cater to the money crowd and forget the poor people. I mean, go to a church. I had a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Danny, I want to start coming to your church. And I said, okay, you're welcome. He said, I've been going down here. I said, that's a good church. Ain't it a Baptist church? He said, Brother Danny, I'll be honest with you. He said, I've been going there 5 years and I've not heard the preacher mention the word hell one time. Now you see a church you want to know about, get on the internet, run in a list of sermons, and tell me if the man preaches on hell, and if he don't, he's a fake. Put me down a little bit, bro. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, people, churches, hell ain't good for business. Hell ain't good for rich people. Hell ain't good for raising a lot of money. But the Bible teaches there's a hell. Amen. Lord have mercy. He said, I ain't heard it mentioned in 5 years. I said, well, come to our church. You'll hear it mentioned every 5 minutes in the right way or the wrong way one. Out in the parking lot or something. But listen, I'll tell you something, brother. It's a shame and a disgrace to God that churches no longer even talk about hell anymore. Amen. When churches have to set up a big screen and have Super Bowl Sunday just to get people to come on that night. Buddy, somebody's asleep. Somebody is asleep. I mean, if you want a ball game at your business, I'll watch it too if I want to. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. There has never been a ball game ever in history as important as one Sunday night service at the house of God where we meet to worship God. Never, never has there been a sporting event in the history of the world as important as one gospel message from the Bible and one psalm of the choir to reach a boy or girl for the glory of God. Somebody's asleep. When Christians cannot even be identified at work, somebody is asleep. They don't even know you're saved. The divorce rate skyrocketing among Christian people, somebody is asleep. When it's so quiet in most churches that somebody said amen, people have a heart attack. Somebody needs to get woke up, brother. Somebody needs to get woke up. When you go by a church and you hear the same music sound you hear coming out of a bar, somebody needs to wake up. We're supposed to have a different kind of music than they got out there. We don't have the same music. We don't have the same philosophy. We don't have the same way of looking at things. There's supposed to be a difference at the house of God. I'm telling you something, brother. When those churches don't even have preaching no more, don't scream and holler at me. Just lecture me and teach me. Yeah, that's what the Bible said you'd say in the last days. Yeah. Teachers having itching ears. Brother, do you know what this generation needs? Bunch of old leather lung redneck preachers to rear back and say, thus saith the Lord. And right still right and wrong still wrong. Yeah. One guy told me, he said, I'm an adult. Don't holler at me. Well, he probably needed it more than anybody in there. I'll guarantee the little brat, it bothered and got under his skin a little bit, didn't it? Made you a little bit uncomfortable, didn't it? That's why you don't like preaching. Lady said one time, she said, do you yell when you preach? That's a stupid question. Do you move when you walk? Duh. Of course you yell when you preach. That's the meaning of the word. It's amazing how dumb educated people are. And, you know, I said, of course I yell when I preach. Do you go to ball games? She said, yes, I do. I said, they yell there, but that kind of yelling didn't bother her. Yeah. Yeah. You know, them boys from Duke paint their face blue. And paint a big D on one's belly, and a big U on another's belly, and a big K on another's belly, and they're going, That's all right. That don't bother you. When I see them like that, I think them boys need to be locked up. Really, they're retarded. They're retarded. That's right. You say, no, that's cool. No, that's cool. It ain't that hollering that bothers you. It's what we're hollering. That's what bothers people. Biggest hypocrite in the world, man, is going to go to a ball game, scream like Comanche Indian, and come to church and sit like your mother-in-law moved in with a wooden Indian. That's right. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, I mean, when Christians go put dirty stuff on their nosebook page and dirty music and dirty quotes and cuss and say I'm representing the Lord, brother, churches are asleep. You say, well, Brother Danny, you just picked a good Sunday morning to come. You'll be all right. You probably needed this. Amen. When the world out there has no shame of sin, churches need to wake up. When alcohol is flowing like water, brother, churches need to wake up. When Nicki Minaj can go on the Grammys and have a demon cast out of her, making fun of her inner alter ego, and Sasha Fierce takes over Beyonce, and all those people have those alter egos, which is a demon spirit, and they brag and tell about it, brother, somebody needs to wake up and turn the lights on and get doing busy something for God. You know what you need to do? You need to rise up, shake yourself, get yourself back in church regular, read your Bible. Hey, some of you sitting right here this morning, you are so messed up that when you try to pray, you can't even pray. When you try to pray, you can't even keep your thoughts. It's, "Dear Lord," and then you 5 minutes later, "Oh, I'm supposed to be praying. Lord, help me out." You can't concentrate. The devil, the spirit's got a hold of your mind so hard. Oh, so strong. Ladies and gentlemen, when churches are asleep like that, we need to wake up. You know what? When our politicians are more worried about votes than they are the people, we are in trouble. This gas going up, everybody's saying, "Well, we're going to do gas." Listen, it's going to hurt us. Diesel's already up, $4.15. Another say it's going to $5. All that. You know what? Listen, we have enough oil in America and in Alaska to drill it and put it down to $2. We've got it. It's in the ground. But it will, you know what? The environmentalists will not allow that to happen. Putting pressure on the politicians and the idiots who believe the earth is our mother and we got to worry about future generations. They said, "Well, ain't you worried about the next generation?" There ain't going to be no next generation. Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." The Lord's got enough trees here to make it to the end. The Lord put enough oil in the ground to make it to the end. Let's drill it, brother. Bring it on down. Let America go and get something done and do right for God. But they're not going to let it happen. Afraid they might kill an owl. Listen, you're living in a messed up world when animal rights supersede human needs and desires and being able to take care of. When animal rights are put above human rights. They had a show on the other day that said that dolphins and some now are so much like people that they deserve to have rights and they should be protected under the law just like a human. That's right. Now, what about them precious little gnats? Just because they're ugly. And skeeters. Just because mosquitoes bother you, they have rights too. Don't you kill them this summer. All them hypocrites. Al Gore fusses about the environment being polluted and wants cars, don't want you to drive an SUV and flies around in a private jet. He usually they pollute more air in one trip than everybody in Burke County does in a month. And brother, it's a racket. It's a racket. Led by the devil, I'm telling you. And churches will have to wake up where we're going to see God do anything about this. Amen. I mean, get off on all that. Amen. Let the people, why don't we let the people vote? Majority in America. Why don't we let the people vote on whether or not to drill our oil? You know what they say? Well, the people's too stupid. We have to make them decisions for them. The elite make those decisions for us because we're too dumb to know what's good for us. No, it ain't. The average man on the street knows good and well what to do. Drill it. Put it in the car. Bring the prices down. Move the economy. Start your business. Amen. I'm proud. Raise the flag. Bless God. I'm proud to be an American. But you know what they're doing? They're destroying our patriotism and trying to level America down, put it with all other countries in the world, getting ready for the Antichrist to take over. We are asleep, brother, in our greatest hour to rise and shine for God. One time, right after I got saved, every one of us boys used to listen to Waggy, Big Waggy, WAGI, 105.3 FM station in Gaffney, South Carolina. How many of y'all remember Big Waggy? They sold it out. It's a Spanish station now about nine years ago or 10. And when I first got saved, we listened to that every night. Brother Ed McAbee is on there and Oliver B. Green and all J. Harold Smith and all them preachers. Man, we listened to it every day. I thought that was the greatest thing. It was FM. You could get it all over here. And I remember us boys sitting around in our cars listening to that thing. I thought, man, this is good. Preaching, I listened to it every night in my house. And one night we went down there, they had a big singing or something. And I drove, had a little Toyota truck, and I had a mattress in the back of it. And that thing, we'd take, giving out tracks and stuff and just sleep in it. Take a bunch of tracks. And we went down there one night, and I was so sleepy. And it was all night, singing and preaching they was having on the radio station live. Old Vaughn, what's his name? I forget his name. Was an announcer then. They had all them preachers and singers in there. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I told him, I said, "Boys, if I'm going to drive home tomorrow, I'm going to go out there in the truck and take me a nap. And I'm going to lay down for a minute." And I said, I'll just sleep for a little bit and then I'll come back in here while these people singing. Well, I went in there outside. I laid down a few minutes. I didn't sleep 15 or 20 minutes. Them guys came out there beating on the side of the truck and said, Brother Danny, Brother Danny, Brother Danny. I opened it up and they said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? They said, they asked for testimonies and we all went up there and we got to give our testimony live on Big Waggy. They said, hey, that's all over north, this part of North Carolina, South Carolina, upstate Georgia, the eastern Tennessee, 100,000 watts FM. They said, we got to give our... I said, what? And they said, that's right. We gave our... you told them your name and you got saved? And they said, you could have done it. I went, I could have kicked myself. Now, you know, I preached on that for 25 years every Sunday for 30 minutes. But then that was a big deal to me. I thought, good night, I'd give anything in the world. I'd give a week's pay just to give my testimony on there for 30. And I thought, I am such a idiot. I laid out here and slept through the greatest opportunity that God gave me since I've been saved. And I thought about that many, many times. And I thought, you know what? Listen, we're going to hit the judgment seat one of these days, folks. And the Lord's going to look and say, you could have done this, you could have done that. Yeah, I had this for you, I had that for you. And you're going to say, Lord, I slept through my greatest hour of opportunity. Lord, I didn't even go to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Lord, I didn't witness. I was asleep. And Lord, I could have. He's saying, now's your chance. Now's the time to do it, people. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to get up. Wake up and do something for God while you've got a chance. We had an Olympic swimmer. And this Olympic swimmer, very, very well-known swimmer, trained and trained and trained and trained. And he went to the Olympics. And he went to lay down and took a nap. And they waited and waited, waited, waited. He's up in his room. They didn't know where he was at. And his clock didn't go off. And he slept right through his greatest hour of opportunity. And folks, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong with churches today. We're sleeping through the greatest hour that God's ever gave us to shine. I ain't fussing at you because you're here on Sunday morning, and God bless you. But boy, you ought to see the way most of y'all look. It's like, I'm barely here.
Yeah.
I'm beat to death, preacher.
Yes,
the world about kill me. That's the look you got on your face. Defeated. Defeated. And you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm just going to say, shake yourself. Man, it's rough staying up all night. If God take a picture of us spiritually, I wonder how many of us, this is a picture of you spiritually. Or ever how you do. That could be a picture of you spiritually. Man, you say, oh, Brother Danny, how do you stay awake? Well, I stop. I used to always buy stuff that makes you thirsty. Peanuts, Doritos, pork skins, that'll really do it. And eat them because your belly hurts so bad you can't go to sleep. That's better than getting killed. That's right. I've made my belly hurt drinking Pepsi and eating pork skins. And you say, oh, well, you're so sick, you can't go to sleep then. I said, well, that's better than wrecking killing myself. I eat peanuts, Doritos. And then you can only drink so much. You get one of them 32-ounce big gulps, you know. Then you got to stop there 15 miles. So you can't. I said, well, this ain't working neither. So I get ice. I get me a cup of ice. And I just eat that ice. Just chew it. Chew it. I've slapped myself. Stuck my head out the sunroof. When it's real cold, I stick my hands out like it. Y'all, anybody ever done that? I stick my hand out there and say, I'm going to hold it out there for 5 minutes. And boy, you think, phew, boy, that woke me up. And then you run in there and roll that window up and get it real warm. And you're just like, yes.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's rough. I've done like this. I've drove many times just doing like this. Put on cruise, that's a bad thing to do. All you got to do is put one finger on the steering wheel. Yeah. Leave the crew. I beat my legs. I beat myself half to death trying to stay awake. And listen, folks. It takes a little effort to stay on fire for God and right with God. You can't just say, oh, I feel like going to die. I mean, you backslid. Shake yourself.
Yeah.
Arise, O thou sluggard. Amen. Amen. Somebody needs to make up their mind this morning. I'm going to stay awake and drive so my family won't get wrecked and wrecked and ruined in this trip we're on. I started titling this sermon, "Somebody Gotta Stay Awake and Drive." Somebody gotta stay awake and drive. Men, women. I left out a lot of this. I was going to say, at night, nobody can see very far. Ain't much vision nowadays. At night, all light on this earth is artificial. All light you see on this earth at night is artificial. It ain't real. Unless you're out in the country and you can see the stars and the moon. I thought a lot about that, Brother Joey, and I thought, wonder how come usually people in the cities real wicked and backslid, and further you go out in the country, you find more good, dedicated Christian people. Because here's why. When you're walking down the street in New York City at night, and I have, you never hear nobody say, "Wow, isn't that a pretty moon out tonight?" You can't see the moon. It's all these other lights, that man-made junk. You can't see the moon. The moon's a picture of the church. But you get out there on an old country road where there ain't no buildings and there ain't no bars and there ain't no clubs and there's that big bright moon and you think, "Boy, to God, look at that." And that most people tonight, this morning, there's so much artificial light the devil's got out there, they can't see the glory of the church. Just pass it right by. God help us this morning. Somebody gotta stay awake and drive. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.